Welcome to the Greatness Zone, a weekly inspiring and practical conversation about discovering, developing, and living your greatness, of building your life around what you do best and bringing that best to everything you do. It's time to get into your Greatness Zone. Here's your host, author, speaker, workplace and life coach, Jay Forty.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Living Life in the Greatness Zone. Hey, it's Jay Forty. Tonight, we talk about the power of redemption. You know, we watch the news and we shake our heads when we see some of the things that people do and do to each other. Conflict, fighting, drug abuse, domestic violence. You know, we're constantly exposed to tough, bad things. And sometimes it makes me think the world is really spinning out of control. But what if we were at that same time? What if we could see and believe in the power of redemption? We could come to believe that no one is a lost soul, that down deep in each of us is an element of greatness that just needs someone in our world to care enough to encourage us to develop it, discover it, and live it. You know, that some of the worst things in life have brought us to our greatest good and the awareness of our purpose. Yeah, I know life is messy and we make mistakes. But, you know, it's part of being human. But what could be more important is the ability to recover from our mistakes, to learn from them and be better, instead of dwelling on them. So accessing our greatness doesn't happen with a chorus of angels singing Mozart. It happens in the deep and sometimes painful realization that we blew it, but we want to make it right, we want to get better, and we need to start again. And this sets the stage for tonight's show. I'm pleased to be joined by Rodney Hughley. He shares that his life was marked by rejection, drug addiction, and homelessness. The same life is now marked by his role as an enthusiastic child advocate, inspiring speaker, and a reminder that no one is a lost soul. I asked Rodney to join us to share some of his story and the lessons that it teaches about our own lives and the lives of those around us, those we may have decided to give up on, when really all that they need is a little bit more understanding, a little bit more guidance, and maybe a little bit more love. And just maybe that person is actually ourselves. Welcome, Rodney. I'm so glad you're with us.
Good evening, Jay. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Excellent introduction, by the way.
Thank you. You know, we've talked for a while. You're a remarkable guy for the things you've been through and the place you are now. So that our listeners get a little bit of an idea of what that was like, can you share a little bit of details on what it was like for you early on? And we're going to move into, you know, where you are now, but help us understand a little bit about what it was like in some of those darker periods.
Absolutely. Well, I am a survivor of domestic violence and physical abuse. I was actually raised by my mother. I was actually the second child of two, born to my single, single mother at 17. So my stepfather, who I, up until the age I was 11, basically, that's who I knew my father to be, but my beloved late great grandmother, before she passed away, disclosed to me that who I thought was my biological father was not my father. And if there's ever a point that a child feels alienated, unwanted, that was certainly it. I was offered no answers, and you know, although my parents may have done the best with the resources that they had, it was certainly very almost insurmountable challenges for me. Witnessing my mother, you know, basically being abused beyond recognition, you know, and for a young child, that, first of all, that's difficult for an adult to even observe, but for a child to be able to be witness to that, you know, on a daily basis, it was very, very challenging. So as a result, you know, I mean, through the years, I basically, you know, I defined myself by what other people told me I was going to be or what I was. And my self-worth and value basically was completely dependent upon other people. And I basically had zero to nil self-worth and value. So,
and I know your story expanded a little bit when you talked about some of the drug addiction, homelessness. And the only reason why I bring this up is I really wanted to share with our listeners the contrast of the then and the now. So yes, give us a little bit more details of the then so they can see, you know, what it took and ultimately what it looks like in the now.
Well, you know, after I graduated high school, there was obviously a sense of liberation. So I really delved into, you know, the recreational drug use and partying. I mean, I basically, that was, incidentally, if you were to read my high school yearbook, most of my friends, you know, referred to me as a party captain, because if there was a party, I knew where it was. So, you know, over the course of years, I delved into it, and what was initially recreational became a necessity for me. And it got to the point where, you know, I lost all my morals and values, a little bit that I did have. And as a result, you know, started to get into felonious crimes and behaviors such as that. And it was in May of 1994, I was diagnosed with the immunodeficiency disease, and basically thought that my life was pretty much over at that point. And if I was going to go out, I was going to go out with the bang. So that's when I really delved into the, you know, very hardcore street drugs, crack cocaine. You know, I've lived in missions throughout Central Florida, you know, had no friends. You know, I was alienated from my family because, you know, obviously, you know, there was a sense of shame, but what I don't have is the right to project my self-hatred towards other people. And I always believed that, you know. So that was pretty much my rock bottom for me. And I would say that probably, it was probably in about the year 1997 when things started to turn around for me. I moved to Titusville and enrolled into a drug rehabilitation residential treatment program there. And after 5 months of, you know, intense therapy, I actually was employed by my then boss, who really basically changed my life. She was instrumental in me changing my life, because that was the first time that someone actually gave me a chance. You know, she knew my history, and I shared it with her, you know, during the interview, because that's one of the things that they teach you in the 12-step program. You have to be gut-wrenchingly honest. And despite, you know, I'd love to say that that was my first time, you know, that I stayed clean after that, but that wasn't the case. And even her own staff of management basically told her, you know what, get rid of him. He's not going to change, whatever. And she held firm. And I'll never forget one day she called me and she said, get on your knees and pray as hard as you've ever prayed. And I really think that that was a life-changing moment for me at that moment, because I felt like somebody really cared, you know? So.
Yeah. Hang on for a minute there, Rodney. This is J40. We're living life in the greatness zone. Tonight we're talking with Rodney Hughley about the power of redemption, and that no one is a lost soul. So far, we've heard a little bit about what his really tough life was about. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear about how the story changes. So stay with us.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You were born great. You have amazing talents, strengths, passions, and interests. Though born great, you didn't get an owner's manual to know how to discover, develop, and live your greatness. Many people never connect to what is best in them. In J40's book, The Greatness Zone, and in his powerful workshop, Life Possibilities, he shares a successful process to guide you on how to discover and live your abilities at any age. A lifetime greatness formula. For more information, visit thegreatnesszone.com.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit celebrateyourlife.org for more information. That's celebrateyourlife.org, and reserve your seat now. That's celebrateyourlife.org.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back. This is Jay Forty. We are Living Life in the Greatness Zone. Tonight we're joined by Rodney Hughley. We are talking about the power of redemption and the ability to remind ourselves that no one that we meet is a lost soul, that there's hope for everybody. In the first part of our show, we talked a little bit about Rodney's tough start, and he is brave and courageous to share some of the things that went on in his life. The reason why I asked him to join us was that we could see where he was to where he is, and now we get to celebrate that he's on the other side of all that. Rodney, welcome back. And what I wanted to do is start from this point by sharing a little bit about, you know, you shifted out of the self-destructive behaviors and now you're on the other side. So what are some of the lessons you learned in getting yourself out of a place where you were not okay and you had to get okay?
I would probably say one of the most important things for me, Jay, was to destroy those old tapes. Destroy all those old tapes that I had recorded in my mind and my memory for years. You're worthless. You have no value. I had to destroy all of that and start anew, basically. And I had to become my own advocate, you know, and champion for that little boy, you know, years ago who felt kind of lost. So, yeah. You know, there's an acronym, HOW, in a 12-state program. And I always say that it's honesty, open-minded, and willingness. And for me, it was not just honesty to build character. It was also honesty to be able to benefit from the loyalty and respect from other people. Also, an open-mindedness, you know, I have to remain receptive to thoughts and ideas and beliefs of others, you know, because there's always strength in unity. And last but not least, willingness, the willingness to have the courage to be able to step out on uninhibited ground, even if it means initially I have to stand out alone. I won't be there alone forever. So those are three really critical points that were essential for me.
Yeah, and I can see that, you know, and so part of looking at this is what is it that we can do and how might we watch our world for those who are struggling to get on the other side of something. You know, we all have what we get. You know, life sends us what it sends us. And sometimes we may feel like what we've gotten is disproportionately unfair. And right. Sometimes that can, you know, can push us down and see like there's no way of getting past it. But the thing that I was most significantly affected by when I talked to you for the first time was your ability to care enough about other people who might be going through a similar thing. What do you watch for now, Rodney, when you look at the world differently, coming from a place where it was really hard, and now you see that there's a way to get past that stuff?
The vulnerability and transparency, most definitely. And that's very difficult in the world that we live in, because it's all about, you know, stand strong, show your emotions, don't let anyone in, and keep everything secret. You know, that's just a society that so many of us were brought up to, at least that I was. I can only speak from my experience. But in saying that, I thought to myself a couple years ago when we began the organization Causes for Kids, I thought to myself, you know, how about instead of me being so angry and furious, you know, with the world, how about if I turn that energy into something positive? Because guess what? There are still children out there who are, unfortunately, victims of domestic violence and abuse, you know, bullying, what have you. And there are still people out there who probably receive a diagnosis that they think, oh my gosh, my life is over.
Yeah, so the ability to look at our world and say, whatever you send me, I'm going to use it. I'm going to turn it to good.
I'd heard
this one thing. Tell me what you think about it. Somebody had told me once that, you know, the world only sends us two things ever. Great things in order to learn how to celebrate, and challenges in order to learn how to learn. And if we could be, you know, emotionally detached enough from some of the things, we could just see it as information and say, so what do I want to do here, rather than think our life is over or it's awful or you know, I'm going to go back to the drugs, or I'm going to go back to the drinking, that, you know, it's, so two things come to mind is, one is, what could we do ourselves? And then secondly, who's on our committee that we could go to when we're feeling like that?
Absolutely. Well, and that's another thing. And that's, for me, that's critical and it's essential still to this day, actually, Jay. You know, I gravitate toward, you know, you show me your friends and I'll show you your life. You know, so obviously I had to, you know, basically become completely 100% gut-wrenching honest and vulnerable and transparent and let people know, hey, this is what's going on. Because I know what kind of type of behaviors will take me back to where I was. And, you know, sometimes, not nearly as often as they did initially, but, you know, sometimes those things, you know, whether it's ego, pride, fear is a big one for me, you know, because it's like I'm always wondering, well, what's someone going to think about me? You know, or this person is going to think less of me or whatever. And I got to tell you, I would say pretty much close to 100% whenever I've, you know, become vulnerable and transparent with people, they're receptive to it because then they feel like they can identify with you and they trust you. You know, does that make sense?
It certainly does. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, the underlying theme of tonight's show is no one is a lost soul. So how do we dig deep in our own self as we're watching our world with people that we're ready to chuck? You know, I can't, you know, it's a one of your kids or a neighbor or somebody who just can't stand it anymore. They act like they do. And again, part of the reason to show part of where your life was before is look what happens when you didn't give up, when the world didn't give up on Rodney. Look what happened. He
Absolutely.
Turned it around and now he's in charge of this foundation. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But
well, yes, sir.
You know, so how is it that we look to the world and watch for the people who need a little bit more understanding, a little bit more guidance, or a little bit more love instead of throwing them out?
I would probably say, and I can only speak from my experience, to listen, slow down, and to listen.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much noise in the world. You know, there's so much noise. And that's just the way we live. That's just the world we live in. But take the time to actually listen. Look for signs. Look for and don't be afraid to say, "Hey, I'm here for you if you need me." You know, so many times people you know use a scapegoat and say, "Oh well, I wish you the best or whatever." Well, what do you mean you wish me the best? And more importantly, if everything is can be better, show me how it can be better. How did you get through this, Rodney? What steps did you take, Rodney, in order that you're no longer homeless, that you're no longer, you know, stealing from people or going to jail? You know, what steps did you take? And that takes, yet again, transparency and vulnerability.
And yeah, willingness. And care. And that you know, we could start to notice people. In fact, we were just teaching a program yesterday, and this exact conversation came up. On how do we not look at what's wrong with people, but how do we tune into what's potentially right with them, even if they're not living it yet? That, you know, that there's some element of greatness in everybody if we choose to see it. And many times we're looking at people who have not chosen to see it themselves yet. So what, you know, where it sets us up for is really what you're trying to do. So you've started a foundation, a 501c3 foundation called A Cause, spelled K-A-U-S-E, the number 4 kids, A Cause for Kids. So tell us about that now that we know where you've been. So tell us a little bit what this does, and then we'll be able to see the difference in the change.
Well, basically what happened was a couple years ago with the whole, you know, polarizing and very tragic incident involving a toddler, Kaylee Anthony here.
Right.
I thought, and people were just very expressive of their views on social media. So I thought, you know, what if we can change? We can't undo what's done, but what if we can put that passion towards something positive? Because the statistics here in Central Florida, probably nationally, are pretty glaring for children who are, you know, in domestic violence or, you know, have basic needs or what have you. So basically, I just started a grassroots level effort, and I contacted local domestic violence shelters and asked what their needs were. And I got a group of people, you know, recruited a few people who were equally passionate. And we began, you know, going out and just making dinner, doing crafts for the kids or whatever. And to see a young boy, you know, kind of trembling when you go up to greet him. And then at the end of the meeting, you know, he wants to, you know, talk to you and ask when you're coming back, Mr. Hughley. there is no greater reward than that. There really isn't. You know, so I feel very fortunate because I'm able to use my past pain and able to be able to relate to someone else. And that's what Causes for Kids is. We basically started out as a grassroots level organization, and one of my then therapists came up to me and she's like, Rodney, why don't you consider making this, you know, a full-time thing as opposed to like, you know, once or twice a year? And that's how we started it. You know, I recruited the board. I basically drafted up the articles of incorporation, and yeah, everything's been done basically, and it's been arduous, I got to tell you, but it's definitely worth it. And we've reached out to several different elementary schools, middle schools, domestic violence shelters, homeless shelters. Yeah, and what I do is I spend time and I go into the college for incoming students and share with them the importance of service and giving back. Because, you know, these are children who have very troubled backgrounds and what have you. So I, you know, go in and share with them, you know, because I remember when I first went to Valencia and I had a 4.0 average and I'm, you know, arrogant about it. And my counselor said to me, give me the greatest service anyone probably could. She's like, so what else are you doing? And I was like, well, what do you mean? She's like, what are you doing for other people? And yeah, so everything kind of came into play. So, and it is my passion. Causes for Kids is my passion. I do not earn a salary for it. No one. Actually, we have a board of 8 professionals, and it's just, you know, share child equally passionate people who basically share the same passion, and that's making a difference in the life of local children.
Yeah, and the reason why I was really happy that you joined me tonight to talk about this was for people to see the change in the Rodney from before and the Rodney now. I mean, listen to the passion as well as you start talking about it. But imagine if we all could tune in and watch for the kid, you know, who feels like they are a lost soul, and someone then stops them saying, no, 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 you matter. And so my challenge for our listeners is, how might you watch differently this week, knowing and hearing some of the things that we've talked about, for someone who needs that little extra understanding, guidance, or love, that all that it would take for you to be interested and care. And it doesn't have to be as elaborate as going to start, like what Rodney's done, is to start a foundation so that more and more people do it. But it was, what changes in us, you know, and how do we access our own greatness by helping other people find theirs?
Absolutely. And if I may, I'd like to add as well, Jay, nothing, no matter what someone has been through, whether it been the ultimate violation, physical abuse, you know, life circumstances, whatever, addiction, you know, whether it be health issues or whatever, there is always, always hope, always. And I can't stress that enough. I'm living proof of that.
Yeah, my story is a similar one too, where there was a point of no return and there was life on the other side of it. It's one I have not shared yet on my show, and maybe someday I will, but there are a lot of us who had tough starts but there were people in our lives who didn't let it progress any further and helped to wake us up about some of the things that are important. Rodney, so one of the things that I really wanted to know in this is what's next for Cause for Kids? I mean, how do you get the word out more that we should be a more aware and responsive and caring culture that is watching for what's going on in our next generation, this next band of kids? How are we watching for them?
Well, I would say through just making, being available. I mean, if that makes sense, making yourself available and just not being so busy and caught up, because you know what? There's always signs, always, you know, and there's always opportunities where you can be of help to someone else, no matter what situation, you know, you're in or what have you. You can always do something in order to help someone else. But as for the children, that's my passion. And what we'd like to do as an organization is to, you know, like you said, everybody, you know, doesn't want to go out and begin a 501c3 organization, but you know, hey, you can do something, you know, whether it's with your neighborhood. You know, a guy was down at the pool the other day, and there were 3 kids there, and they were kind of unruly, and he actually, you know, spent some time with them, and by the end of the, you know, by the time they left, they were actually swimming, and, you know, he was teaching them how to swim, and it's just like that, just take the time to show someone that you care. It makes a huge difference. You know, just simple things make such a huge difference.
Yeah, and part of it, you know, and I catch myself every now and then, though I teach this, you would think I'd be better at it, but, you know, I struggle with it too, is not watching to pass judgment on somebody who looks different or is troubled or acting troubled, but how do we see past the outside and see that element of greatness, that spark of something amazing, something awesome that if we were to maybe remind them it's there, maybe they might see it. Because maybe so far in their life, nobody has ever told them it's there. And, you know, we don't get owner's manuals that say, here's what you're great at and here's how you should show up big to your life. We have to kind of do that. And we really rely on the people around us to help us learn how to do it. And
Absolutely.
Many times, you know, we grow up through life and none of that's available to us.
Absolutely. And I think that's the greatest thing that my former boss, as I mentioned previously, the greatest thing she did for me was she basically said, you matter. Not, in, you know, maybe so much in words, but in actions and deeds. You matter. I'm not going to give up on you. You matter.
Well, therein, I think, is the power line of the night. I'm not going to give up on you because you matter. And I wondered if we could look in the mirror and point to ourselves in the mirror when we are in that same space and say, I'm not going to give up on you. You matter. Imagine that we could start our own redemption by, you know, with ourselves.
Well said. I agree.
Well, Randy, I mean, Rodney, the you know, I'm thrilled that you do this work. And I know that our worlds will cross more as some of the things that I know I'm working on will go and guide and help you. I guess the final thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, as we walk through our days, what could give us courage to approach somebody that looks like they need help? Because I know we're so afraid all the time of everything. Is there something we could, something that you found in the way people treated you or you know, something that you see that works that would help those of us that want to be good and kind and help out, but we're afraid that, you know, we don't know how to do this and I'm not sure, is it safe? Is there anything you can guide us with on that so that we're not so afraid all the time about reaching out to help somebody?
Great. From my experience, Jay, it's just not being overcome with fear because and my experience has been that some people that have project to be the most, you know, mean, unkind people are the ones that are really, really just basically asking for help. They just don't know how to.
Okay.
And that's
cool.
And that's really, I mean, yes, that takes courage to do, you know, but I would venture to say that most people who step out and who have the courage to do that, you'll probably gain a friend for life, you know, because that's all everybody wants to know is, hey, do you see me? Do I matter? You know, not to paraphrase what Miss Winfrey says, but does what I say matter? Do you see me? That's what everybody wants to feel. Everybody.
Yeah. And you're right that it is everybody. Rodney, thank you. For more information on Rodney Hughley and his foundation, which is www.causeforkids, that's K-A-U-S-E, the number 4kids.org, and you can find him also on Facebook at Causes, spelled K-A-U-S-E-S, 4kids. Next week, we're joined by high energy Armando Cruz, who inspires people by fitness and awareness to show us how to connect to what's great and best in us. His energy is truly infectious, so don't miss it. Until next time, be well, do great work, and live life in your greatness zone. This is Jay Forty. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Greatness Zone, a show committed to helping you discover and live your greatness. Tune in each week as Jay Forty continues to share practical ways to help you live a bigger, bolder, and better life. To know yourself, find your fit, and transform our world. Go to thegreatnesszone.com for more information.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.